is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
We are back. My name is Cecil G., of course, presenter of Former Footballer and your guide through the chaos of the beautiful game. And you really know what you're listening to. This is VAR You Serious, the football show that takes everything we love about the sport and flips it completely on its head. It's a football show with a little bit of a twist. We've got rants of the week, where we deliver pure, unfiltered truths from the fans, the complete tears with tantrums, and the odd tin hat conspiracy. Tin foil hat is actually as it goes. But it's not all madness. Of course, we're shining a light on the real stories within football with our fans, giving their journeys, their stories, or people that have been in the sports space media and how they got into the positions of power within the sport media space. This isn't your average football show, as you know. Where football meets funny and every fan has a story. And today I'm joined by a special guest. It is Dylan from United District.
Hey,
Dylan
Peg Kev.
Come on, my G. From United District, I've already given you the clue there. He is a Manchester United fan. And of course, he's had a bit of a quiet weekend because it's been the FA Cup weekend.
I have done nothing, literally. We were speaking just before it, and Kim was like, oh, you know, what have you done this weekend? Nothing. I went to the Arsenal game, funnily enough.
Serious?
Yeah, I was in North Bank.
What the hell? I can't actually say that. I said I can't get a ticket, but I could have got a ticket. There was a lot of tickets actually being sold for this game. But okay, so you went to the Arsenal
game?
Yeah,
I was in the North Bank.
Oh, nice. Like, you saw like a real team.
I actually saw Arsenal score some open play goals for once. It was crazy.
You saw Owen Goel get on the score sheet?
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah. I also saw a penalty not given that was so blatantly against our... Look, I was... for Wigan, there was a pen, 100%. It was like right in front of me. I was looking at it. It just wasn't given.
Ooh, I don't know.
100%. Edge of the area. Also, I saw them just miss so many shots.
Yeah, so many chances.
Wigan tried to actually play against Arsenal. Like, look, only one team can do that and actually succeed at the Emirates, isn't it? And you've got to have players like Brian and Boomer. You've got to have, like, Mateus Cunha there. You can play ball if you've got ballers.
He's starting already. Dylan's taking me back to the time it's Man United at home.
Take you back to what, like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it hurts me a little bit still to this day, but it's fine. We look at the summit of the Premier League and you see Arsenal, which makes me happy. Now, Dylan, let me get you the origin of, firstly, your name, because I didn't know your last name was Penkef. So where has that come from?
What it is, I'm half Welsh, half English. Welsh on my mum's side, English on my dad's side.
Right.
But I support Wales for like sports and stuff. Although, unfortunately, obviously the rugby's going horrendously. We got battered by France yesterday. But what it is apparently, so it was my younger brother had a, you know, you got like school projects where it's like, you know, find your lineage, you know, work out your family tree, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, my family in the 1500s used to be the major landlords in a village called Penketh just outside Manchester. So there's literally a village called Penketh just outside Manchester.
Outside Manchester?
Which is also Jesse Lingard's first club, Penketh United. It was his like very first club. There's a little village called Penketh. And apparently...
Your heritage ran that area?
Apparently.
That's class.
Whether it was legitimate or like 1500s mafia bosses, I don't know. But apparently, and then we like sold the village to another family. And apparently that's like where my name then comes from. Is that 500 years later, you've got like just me sat here being a United fan, you know?
So is that still there?
I've got roots in Manchester, apparently.
Is that still there?
Yeah, Penketh is just a village. There's a school called like Penketh School, and I want to go one day and just stand in front of the sign.
Wow, that is
just to be like, you know, this is my school because it's my name. And there's like a welcome to Penketh sign and everything. I'm like, I've got to go there one day.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
you have
to. You've never been.
That's got to be a display picture, bro. That is a good story. That's a good origin story of your name.
It was just so interesting because I don't know, because as well, another thing in my family that's so funny is Pocahontas is technically on my family tree. On my...
What?
So my granddad, my great-granddad...
What sort of story
is
this?
Canadian.
Simba is from my family tree. What the hell?
My granddad is Canadian.
Yeah.
And he's a direct descendant of John Rolfe, who was Pocahontas' husband in real life. So you go to him and then over to Pocahontas. It's like my... You know like on Hinge, just like three fun facts about your two truths and a lie. I've always got that on my Hinge. It's like, you know, I'm... on the same family tree as Pocahontas.
That is phenomenal stuff. And just there's a little drop there. He's on Hinge. So people, ladies, if you're looking out for a new single Man United fan, this is the man. His name is Dylan. So were you born in Manchester then? Were you born in Penketh or not? No,
I was born in Wales. In Chelsea.
Oh,
I was born in Chelsea. Chelsea Westminster Hospital. I'm London born and raised.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the origins do take you back to Manchester, so that makes sense.
It's the most tenuous link for me to go. I'm not just one of those London Man United fans. I've got a link.
It's interesting because
from 500 years ago.
It's interesting, of course. Like, I'm a diehard Arsenal fan, but when I went to and worked at Manchester United through my company Talent Transfer, I went to the school that the academy boys go to, and it's called Cecil. It's on Cecil Road, which was really spun me out. I was like,
that's really bizarre.
Really weird. So Marcus Rashford, I remember they got the photo of him in the corner, like, and it was on Cecil Road, and I was like, ah, this is quite interesting.
It's your little bit,
yeah, it's my own. I should get a photo.
Home from home.
I think I've actually got a photo of that somewhere, but that's in the archives. But yeah, but anyway, interesting links to Manchester United. Right, talk to me, Dylan, then, because, you know, we have many guests come on this show, whether they're just match-going fans, whether they're people that work for the football clubs. But mainly it's fans that are now in this space that is thriving. Media, it's fan media,
it's
really.
It's the best space to be in, isn't it? It's so much fun.
It really is. I mean, I think a lot of people now, I speak to a lot of young people that want to get into this space. So it clearly has a bit of desirability to it. It is clearly quite desirable because a lot of young people now are saying, oh, I want to be, you know, a football fan, but covering the sport I love and also working with the club that I love. And, you know, we get to do that on many different, you know, bases and different opportunities we get. So I want to ask you, how did you kind of get into this role, into this space, in this industry? Was it something that you wanted from young? Did you see other people doing it? Or, because you're quite...
I think 25.
You're quite young. So did you see people doing this and say, I want to be there? Or did it kind of just fall into place?
So what it was... Oh, I was about to say, do you know that? You know them, the Sidemen.
Oh,
yeah, obviously, I know you know them, bro. I know you know them, bro.
Of course. No, I don't know who that is. Who's that? Yeah, of course.
You know those, like, blokes?
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, when I was 14, 15 years old...
Before you go to it, try and describe them. Say if I didn't know what they are. How would you describe the Sidemen then? Say if I didn't know who they were, what would you say to describe them?
Ooh.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like... Yeah.
Lads in the pub make them billionaires.
Okay, because I was thinking, what did I say? Yeah, they played video games and now they're a group of friends that are now...
And then they kind of just went outside, took a camera with them, and then they played at Wembley, there's food involved, there's...
Yeah, literally, they have businesses.
Everything.
They're
and everything just
they're
says side.
Yeah.
Everything literally. Begins or ends with side.
Exactly. But yeah, go on, so crack on. So you saw them, I suppose, when you were younger.
Well, yeah, obviously, like, you know, growing up, when I started getting into YouTube and everything was the same time, like, KSI was obviously at his big come up when he was, like, 20, 21. He was playing the scary games with his brother, Deji, etc. And then the Sidemen formed. And I used to just love watching their GTA videos, etc. And so what I did one day when I was, like, 14, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up a fan page.
For the Sidemen?
So I set up a fan page for the Sidemen. I can't even remember what it was called now. I think it was called, like, Sidemen Updates or something. And then it ended up doing really, really well. It got to, like, 50k followers. So I was like, okay, the fan page for the Sidemen worked. I'm going to do a Man United one. So I set up that. It was a Lingard and Pogba fan page. And I started making, like, edits of, like, Lingard and Pogba and everything. That then grew to, like, 200k. Like, 200k followers when I was like...
What?
Yeah, when I was like... This is when I was in sixth form now.
What platform predominantly was this?
This was on Instagram.
Okay.
So this was on Instagram. And then me and some friends, or like some people I knew online, were like, why don't we set up like a news page or something, you know, like a bit of like a fan page, but like a news aggregator page and stuff as well. So obviously we just post the latest news, goals, scores, whatever. And then that ended up being United District. That was 6 years ago last week. So 6th of February 2020. I remember when the date the page was set up.
Yeah.
And then lockdown happened, but then when football came back, obviously the page started growing in followers, and it just kind of grew to now we hit 1 million a couple of weeks ago on Twitter. So that page is...
United District has 1 million?
There's 1 million on Twitter now, yeah. Which is mad. Thank you.
Sorry, that's huge stuff. I did not know that.
And then when I had United District, obviously that started growing, and then ended up just kind of in the same rooms as people, met Flex. And Flex was like, oh, you're an interesting guy. And I was like, yeah, I really want to get into like camera stuff. And Flex was like, oh, okay, why don't we have a chat? So he calls me to the studio, obviously, like the DR Sports, AFTV studio, etc. We sat down, had a meeting, and he was like, oh, why don't you just like launch a show? So he just basically gave me a show, which is now What the Devil on United View. And then from there, I was doing that once a week, obviously, because I was just in and out of the office a load.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, DR Sports needed someone to cover for a show for a week. And they're like, Dylan, can you just, the Live at Five show, they're like, Dylan, can you just do it for a week or so. Yeah. While we find someone more permanent for it. And then basically...
Oh, is that how this...
And then it was basically the equivalent of like Gareth Southgate. You know when they like, yeah. Sam Allardyce? There was Southgate, can you take these two international breaks?
Yeah, for a little
and
bit.
And then they went, you know, this guy's
he's
not,
doing all right,
he's not
yeah.
that bad, you
yeah.
know, he's actually
the players
all right.
Like
and
him,
they were
yeah.
like, can you do next month? And yeah. I was like, yeah, this was in the summer. So like August, they were like, can you do September? I was like, I can do September, yeah. And then it was like September, it was can you do October? I was like, yeah. And then at this point, I was like, guys, you may as well just like actually just I may as well just have this show as like the show that I do, and then now yeah, live at five every day
every
on DR
day.
Sports and plus all... like district stuff. Got some freelance writers and other people, like editors, social admins and things. Amazing. And it all kind of just like snowballed, but it all came from me setting up fan pages for flipping Mini Minter and co.
And now, yeah, now you're running a business of your own with United District and whatnot. And big up DR Sports as well. Got a shout out every time. Make sure you go follow United District and follow Dylan as well, because he's doing some amazing things. It's funny, a lot of people do start that from fan pages. I remember FTBL, a company I work for, they the guys that work for them, they started doing fan pages and blew them up, meme pages, getting them to like millions and millions. And then now they're like the forefront of most of these massive pages that you see around football. So it's a good entry point. So that's for people that listen, that are looking to get into the space as well. Listen, we have many people talk about their journeys and all of them all different. Everyone's going to have a different path into the industry, but that is another way is building up pages and hopefully getting this opportunity from the people that you're doing them for. You get the opportunity to, you know, go forward and meet them or work with them collaborate with. Now, time to lock in, Dylan. It's Man United.
Do I have to sit up?
Yeah, it's Man United. And of course, like I spend some time with you. I'm with DR Sports, with AFTV as well, as many listeners will know. But we're going to talk Man United. Now, there is a whole... It's not even a debate. It's the character talk. It's the Michael Carrick, all of that stuff.
Mikel Carrick.
All of that stuff.
Culture cans keep saying.
Of course, all of those things there. And for me, I need to get the insight from you because... No Man United fan wants to say give Michael Carrick a permanent role. I know you don't want to do it. I know it's like me saying Arsenal are going to go and win the quad. No one wants to say it because they don't want to jinx it. Or they don't want to see... For you guys, you've had Ollie at the wheel and it's not gone the way you wanted in the end, but he had a really good run, in my opinion, at the beginning. And they don't want to kind of give that sort of... They don't want to give that to Michael Carrick and give him that pressure to say, no, this is you're the right man. Now, we're going to... Which angle should I start from? Let's start... Because I know you've done a lot of content, so I don't want to overlap stuff that you've said before. But there's that example that I've said before about Ollie and what he did at Man United. But I give the example of Arsenal with Arteta being an ex-player. And he's come in and he's steadied the ship, but not just that. He's pushed us to... We haven't won anything of you know, major notoriety right now. But, of course, an FA Cup, but nothing huge. But he was the answer. He was someone that, you know, the players began to like in the end. He had a philosophy, had a way of playing and all that. I don't want to ask you the same question. Do you think Carrick can be that? Let's just start with what have you made of him so far? And I'll probe a bit more after that.
I'm so surprised. Okay. I'm so surprised with... Because what it was, obviously, there was the whole comparison between him and Solskjaer being like, oh, what, you're just going to hire another Solskjaer? Because people bash Solskjaer's time at United as if he didn't come second and then apologise. He came second and then went and then literally went to, what is it, Old Trafford and took the microphone and went... I'm sorry, we're not where we want to be. Second.
Yeah.
And that's where the standards were. Like, and Solskjaer, I do think, is really disrespected in how he... obviously, it didn't work in the end.
Yeah.
Big part of that was bringing in Ronaldo, right? And it was like, although Solskjaer said yes to that, that was ultimately what caused the downfall. Because we had, like, at the time, like, obviously, whatever happened with other players happened, but at the time we had Martial firing, Rashford looked good, Mason Greenwood was coming through, 18 years old, scoring, like, 17 goals in his first season. Eddie Cavani was there as the experienced striker. Ronaldo comes in, takes his number 7. Cavani then leaves, like, 6 months later. Ronaldo then throws a fit and leaves in a year anyway. Yeah. After sack, basically getting Solskjaer sacked a little bit because everything had to change for him. But then a lot of the best things under Solskjaer, who was the guy on the training ground with the tactics board and everything, it was the man Mikel Carrick. It was him and Kieran McKenna.
Yeah.
Kieran McKenna has obviously shown himself to be a great, like, back-to-back promotions with Ipswich.
Yeah.
They've then gone down last season. They're now fighting for promotion again under McKenna. So I feel comparing Carrick and Solskjaer isn't fair on either of them, because you're bringing down Solskjaer and basically saying he was just a vibes man, and then basically saying that Michael Carrick, what, he's brought the vibes back. Blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, I was going to say, so you're actually saying he's actually quite tactically a good manager because...
What, Michael Carrick?
Yeah. Because,
oh, yes.
Because for me, fans that I argue at first, this is naive, I'm an Arsenal fan, remember that?
Yeah.
When he came in, I just said, bro, he's just doing what... We all would have done if we was manager of Man United, put players in the right positions, took out the back five.
Not at all.
So there's more.
Not at all. Oh, there is more to it. There's got to be. Look, the way. Look,
it's, I don't know. There's got to be more to it.
It's not. So
he came in
let's
3 days and then beat. I don't know.
This is what I say. So let's take those two games, the City win and the Arsenal win.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Go.
We didn't just happen to beat the two teams. We thoroughly and systematically, I think, beat both teams, and that is down to Michael Carrick knowing. Actually, it's at Middlesbrough, right? I know eventually he got sacked at Middlesbrough because they didn't get promoted.
Yeah.
But throughout his time in the Championship, his team, highest XG, most goals scored, least goals conceded, best possession, best field tilt. Like his Middlesbrough team, he came in when they were 21st and got them fourth in his first season.
Yep.
And then he then finished like sixth, I think, and lost the playoffs. And eventually goals dried up and he finished 10th this final season and then got let go in the summer. But he is, in his own right, a very good manager, no matter if it's at United, at Middlesbrough, or let's say he doesn't stay at United, right? Let's say we hire someone else in the summer. He goes, he can go to Spurs. He can go to Newcastle or something. He can go to another club and he will show himself to be in his own right a great manager. And I genuinely do. And okay, Laurie gets on my back a lot about using the word great. Because when he uses the word great, he's like, oh, you're talking about greatness. A good manager, great manager.
He always does that.
Very tactically competent manager. And then he comes out with the most ridiculous words himself. Yeah. And I've got to spend half the time Googling what he's even saying. But Michael Carrick, I feel it's funny that all of his competition at the moment are dropping like flies.
Yeah.
All the managers that I would want over him are becoming increasingly unavailable anyway. And I do think if he does well enough, let's say we get fourth or we get third or something, let's say we actually have a really good end to this season.
Which could easily happen.
Which can definitely happen because everything is going our way in the way of one game a week. Everyone else has got Europe. Teams are getting injuries. We're not. And all the advantages that we need, how the advantages came about, being knocked out of Europe, being knocked out of the FA Cup, being blah, 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 blah. That's a whole different story. But one game a week for Carrick, the way I see it is he can play himself into the... You know when you go like for a job interview or something, right? And then you got old school, like all the candidates sit on a bench and they get called in one by one for the interviews.
Yeah.
Carrick should be sat on that bench alongside the others if he finishes well before the end of the season. That's the way I see it. And if he decides, because it's all up to him to go, I want to be considered. The club will go, cool, we'll consider you then. But what it shouldn't be is if you reach a certain amount of games, we'll give you the job. That's what it shouldn't be.
Okay, so say if I was offer you the choice of having a new manager now, would he not be the number one? Because I'll be honest, the manager market, Dylan, is a mess.
So there is one manager who I really, really... Okay, there's two that I really, really want. One
that's available as well.
Yeah. So, could be available, possibly.
Okay, go on.
So one who I don't think is happening at all would be Luis Enrique. I've wanted him for years.
Yeah. So, well, you entered...
So, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Okay, but I know that that's not... That's basically... Unless something drastic happens, that's not going to... The other one who I really like and I think would be so attainable would be Julian Nagelsmann.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. He plays... And actually... not too far different type of football to Michael Carrick. So let's say transition-wise, actually probably wouldn't be that bad. 4-3-1, 4-4-2, out of possession domination is what Michael Carrick loves. His out of possession setups. So does Nagelsmann's the German school of out of possession football. He is so that, which is what made the Germany teams back in 2010s so good. That Germany team was amazing.
It's incredible, yeah.
So, but then apart from that, yeah, any other managers who I would consider over Carrick? Ancelotti, 4-year deal at Brazil. Tuchel just signed a new contract with England. So it's and then the other managers you'd think of, Glasner's basically played himself out of contention.
Yeah,
Iraola, I don't think is good enough to be in contention. Unai Emery, myself, I mean, we spoke about Emery before. I don't rate him enough. I don't trust his bottle is the best way to put it.
Fair.
So the other managers, they're not really available.
So there's just two realistic above him.
There's two that I would, at the moment, rather take, but Carrick also has to the end of the season. And I will, if he does well enough, I will happily change my mind.
Okay, let's
I feel he does enough.
Fair enough. Let's do, before we go to this weekend's fixtures, but when I say this weekend's fixtures, we're just going to talk about us twos. Ours is midweek, funny enough. But let's before we do that, who wins the Premier League this season?
I still think it's Arsenal.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I still think it's Arsenal. But it's by no means guaranteed.
Oh, 100%.
By no means guaranteed.
100%.
I do think there's... So I remember I've got a bet with Jack, the old guy who used to do the socials at DR. I said to him, I'll buy him dinner if Arsenal stay first for the rest of the season. And then he's got to buy me dinner if Arsenal drop off from first to the end of the season. And there was a point where it was 9 points clear. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to buy this man dinner. But now it's 4 points. And I'm like, I do think there will be a switcheroony at one point.
Ooh.
But I do think it'll come back. I don't trust City this season.
I don't trust City either. But I think if the switcheroony does happen where City do take the lead, I worry for Arsenal to be able to keep up. Get back the momentum to then overtake them again. But that's that'll be a sign of pure mental toughness. Let me go to... Just briefly as well, you've obviously got Everton at the Hill Dickinson.
Yeah.
Your upcoming fixture. I won't talk about North London Derby because that is a massive game and we got a game before that, which is happening on Wednesday. So I'd like to review the game rather than preview it. But quickly, we take on Wolves on Wednesday. I mean, there's not really too much to say. I expect Arsenal to be able to just deal with that quite simply. I know we're at Molineux, but we've I can't remember the last time we lost there, if I'm honest. It's been so many years. And this Arsenal team, top of the Premier League, Wolves obviously bottom. It's not really much to really say. Strand Larsen's left them, gone to Palace. And yeah. I think they're a bit of dire constraint. And they're falling very fast, Wolves. But love them. Probably going to be sat in hospitality as well. really. And I actually will be sitting in hospitality in the box. And I also love the stadium. They're very welcome as well. We've had many times we've been able to do previews on the pitch and stuff and all that. So big up Wolves, big up Wolverhampton. Sad where they are, but sorry, this is business. I'll come in and
business, set the point.
Business is business. For you, Everton, concerned, worried?
Not really. Oh, I trust. So what? Like, I'm not concerned. Obviously, there's a chance we can lose this game. Like, you know, I thought we'd beat West Ham and we didn't. But what I've been saying under Carrick the entire time is just, I trust my team to create chances and then I trust my forward players to take those chances. Whether we then end up conceding goals, like, so with the West Ham, we basically gave them one chance and they scored it, which was really annoying. And then we didn't create anything and I was fuming. But for the most part, like, we'll go to Everton. I trust Bruno Fernandes, Mateus Cunha, Brian Mbeumo, Benjamin Sesko.
Yeah.
Even like Casemiro, Mainu, I trust them to be able to create chances. And then I trust the guys who are going to be on the end of those chances to then score at least a few of those chances. And then it's all up to be able to, like, you know, lock it down at the back. So, like, I go into every game confident that we're going to give ourselves a solid chance of winning games.
Yeah.
No matter who I remember when we did the AFTV preview, I said the same thing for the United Arsenal game. I was like, I'm not necessarily predicting us to win the game, but I think we'll create chances and I think we'll then score those chances. And it's exactly what we did.
Yeah,
be that Zubimendi creating them for us or not, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, all right.
Who created those chances is a different story. But it's that kind of stuff. Like, I trust Cunha to be able to find half a yard.
Yeah.
Which was what happened for the winner. I trust Brian Mbeumo to be able to, like, you know, when he gets a chance, when Zubimendi fed him through, I trust him to be able to score that chance more often than not. And it's the same. For now, every away at home, at home, anything, no matter what, who we face.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so annoyed at the West Ham game, because we didn't create chances.
I've got to do a brief, quick, just sting on the FA Cup. I know you're out of the FA Cup, but I need to, and I'm out of all cups, but I just want to just have to do it before we go, because the magic of the FA Cup, is it dying? There's only three teams that aren't in the Premier League left. Do you think it's dying? I think that's Wrexham. Listen, Macclesfield got to play tonight. They obviously knocked out the holders, Crystal Palace. So for me, I don't feel like it's dying. I feel like there's still magic of the FA Cup is still there. I think Norwich is still in it as well. I think it might be Mansfield Town is the third. So Wrexham, Mansfield Town, Macclesfield. I think there's one other, but I don't think the magic's dying for me. I don't know if you have any difference.
No, I think, like, so we talk with every single year, like round three, round four, there's always this conversation of, you know, is the magic of the FA Cup going away? And then you then have Macclesfield beating Crystal Palace, then suddenly, you know, the FA Cup magic's back, it's alive, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes, or is it, like, people talk about, is the magic of the FA Cup going when the best team, like, it's not like the best teams don't end up winning it every single season anyway. Like, most seasons, it will be a Premier League team. It will be one of the big six teams. Like, when, for example, when Wigan won it and went, that was, like, years ago, and Roberto Martinez, that was a bit of a one-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, like, Crystal Palace won it last season. And then, what, 6 months later, we're suddenly saying the magic of the FA Cup's not
crazy,
here anymore?
Crazy.
It's just, yes, the small teams do, have, smaller teams, with all due respect, do end up getting knocked out.
Yeah.
But it's still alive. Nice. Like, and also there's so much that goes on in the lower leagues in the FA Cup, in the preliminary rounds, in like the non-league rounds and stuff, that we don't see as much, maybe because all the games aren't on BBC. They're not all free to view as they used to be. Like, I know obviously there's a load of games on TNT now, which makes it a little less accessible, which that's another conversation. But no, the FA Cup magic is still there. It's still alive. Because all I've been hearing for 15 years is, oh, is the FA Cup magic going? Like, if it was going, it would have gone in the last 15 years, but it's still alive and it's still kicking. It's a great competition.
100%. Big up the FA Cup. Obviously, Arsenal, the most successful team in it. 14 FA Cups, have to get in there as well. And just quickly, there was obviously a big an incident, obviously, with the handball in the box for this Newcastle Aston Villa game. That is what, it annoys me. This is VAR, you serious? Of course, this is what you're listening to. It's in the title. Sometimes I feel like VAR is needed, but the people that are officiating or just officiating one and also
in
Stockley Park are the problem.
They're
clearly not trained. Yes. They're not good enough. How do you not see how clear? Anyway, that's the people, not the VAR. Big up VAR at times. Just the people that run it and the officials on the pitch. Woo! But hey, I wouldn't want to do that job. So let me make that clear as well. Anyway, coming up after the break.
You've got enough on your plate already.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing way too much at the
Cecil moment. G in the VAR box at Stockley Park. That's crazy.
I'm in four different places a lot of the time. I can't be in five. Coming up after the break, Dylan will have the floor ref of the day and a little bit of a rant. There's quite a few things coming up after this.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Okay, Dylan, it's time for you to do the rant of the day. You can get something completely off your chest, whatever you're annoyed at, what you're frustrated at. You can just let it go. We'll give you however long you need to basically just de-stress. This is like therapy. This is what we love here. You can get something off your chest quickly. I can't help it. Have to do one. England! Now, here, there's going to be them people in the comments. Like, if you don't like it, yeah, but all of that stuff. Yeah, but I can't do that. But the rain. We had Kim last week talk about umbrellas and how useless they are. And I partly agree, but also for the ladies, them already said, keep the umbrellas. But you see the rain. It's rained every day. At time of recording, every day in 2026 so far. Imagine that. And we are in February the 16th.
So 47 days now, yeah, or something like
literally
that.
Literally, of consistent rain every day. People, please. I don't like rain at the best of times. My football matches that I want to play on the weekend are being cancelled. Not Premier League, but I still play. They're being cancelled because we can't find pitches, because all 4G pitches are now being used, okay? Rain is annoying. My hair's not too much of a problem, but I just don't like rain, don't like the cold. Raining in England, really annoying. And funny enough, I will be off soon because I saw that there's still rain. It's not raining today for now, but there's grey.
We still got 12 hours left.
And the grey clouds are there. So rain is an issue. Dylan, it's not about me. It's about you. As much as I had to get it off my chest, please give us your rant.
You drive, right?
Of course.
Yeah, you drive, yeah.
Of course. I'm not a great driver, though, so
you know,
I might be part of this rant.
You know what's been getting me recently is I'm so convinced that half the population have forgotten how to drive. Like, they've forgotten the rules.
Yeah.
So I learned to drive a couple of years ago. I think, yeah, I've had my license about 2 years. So admittedly, like...
It's 2 years? Fresh.
Yeah, I know. I've only had it for 2 years. But I drive...
Can I ask, when you did your driving test, did you have a sat-nav that you had to follow, or did the guy tell you where to go?
Both. So, like, part of it was you got to show you can follow a sat-nav and understand a sat-nav, and then part of it is then he tells you where to go for the second half of it. But my entire... Actually, I can't lie. My entire driving test was just in...
Mad.
It was in traffic. My whole driving test was in traffic. It was disgraceful.
You did it in London, right?
Yeah, I did it in London. I did it around Spurs Stadium, around that area. It was around like around Tottenham and like northwest London.
Fair.
No, northeast London. Wherever the Spurs Stadium is, bro. White Hart. It was on White Hart Lane, basically, where I did my driving test. But for me, half this population have forgotten the actual rules of how to drive. So you know, like, things like, you know, you've got people who've got to, like, you know, give way to people, and you've got people who have, like, right of way and stuff over other cars.
Let's do this.
Like, everyone's forgotten it. Like, you know when you've got, like, a cross junction, and there'll be one of the roads is, like, the priority road, another one you've got, like, you've got to stand, you've got to look around and everything. Yeah. And you see, like, cars who are going on the priority road will stop for you, and I'm sat there going, are you stopping for me? Are you stopping here? So I then start to go, and then they go again, and I got to stop, and I got to reverse. And also, there's so many roadworks at the moment. No one follows the signs. Yeah. Like, back in, so where I drive through to get to the studio, like Crouch End, there's massive roadworks going on Crouch End at the moment. And everyone else has just decided, like, the pavement is suddenly the road or stuff, or they're turning around, or they're just using bus lanes, like, left, right, and centre. And I'm like, everyone's forgotten basically what all the lines mean on the roads. And it might just be because I'm a massive, like I know what they want, a bit of a stickler for, like, you know, that means this means that. If that's a stop sign, that's a red light, you stop. And everyone's like, oh, you know what, nah. Like, they're treating it like it's like optional, half the road signs these days, and it just jars me so much.
Can I ask you, I'm just going to test the noise a little bit. If you're on a roundabout, which side has priority?
Coming from your right.
Okay. All right.
I know the rules.
I'm just checking.
I know the rules here. Yeah? I know. Also, people like, don't use indicators. That also grates me.
That annoys me.
Like, I'll be at a roundabout and I'm like, what? Are you planning on just driving in circles for the rest of the day because you're just indicating right the entire time, never coming off the roundabout?
Do you know what?
Oh, it's so annoying.
I'll give you that one because I'm a bad driver. I'm gonna make that very clear.
Are you the problem? I am
definitely the issue.
Are you who I'm complaining about?
100%. That is gonna be me. I drive a BMW as well, so listeners, you know what time it is. So that's probably me. I do use my indicators, though, because that does frustrate me. And also, one thing I will say, I say thank you a lot, either with a hand gesture or you get the hazard light. So I think that's very key. I think that's a dying thing when it comes to people driving. I think people aren't thankful enough.
Be
nice.
Road rage has taken over.
Oh, it really has. But I suppose when you're in London, I'm down south as well, people don't like talk and like be, I guess, thankful. So maybe you might get up more up north. I don't know. I don't drive up north. But definitely here, I try and do it because we need more of that. But all right, that's a good rant. That is a good rant.
There is a small other one that I have.
Go on,
and it's Disney Plus. The It's the you know, it's like play next episode.
It's Disney
Plus. You know how like Netflix and others, right? It's like it loads for like 5 seconds and plays the next episode. Yeah. Why is a Disney Plus one like 25 seconds long? It's so long.
I didn't know that.
And it's because I can just click to skip anyway to next episode.
So but why do you just click?
Why do I need to click? Why does it have to be? It's like I sat there 25
this
seconds
is a
going,
Gen Z thing, people.
Do I change my mind? I've got like 25 seconds to change my mind.
Have they got the ad? Is it an ad or is it just a credit?
No, it just like it just goes next episode in 25 seconds. And I'm like, why? Why 25? If I want to watch the next episode, I already know. It's not like I'm there stressing for 20 seconds, pulling my hair out going, I don't know what to do for these 20 seconds. What do I do? Blah, blah, blah. It's like if the remote's like, I'm
first
just being lazy.
World problems.
Oh, I know.
To a degree. Gen Z in massively in this.
But it's like, but for me, it's more from like who made that decision?
But from a business perspective, they might be saying, you've watched this episode. Now there's enough, you've got 25 seconds to go get a drink, go toilet quickly and come back. And then the next one will be there perfect for you. That's probably what they're thinking.
Maybe, but then none of the others do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All the others, it's just like loading next episode in 5 seconds. Bam, cool.
I hope we clip that one. Because that one, I feel as your small one is funnier than it's funnier than the other one. Because that is, that just shows the time.
Why is it so long? Like if, like, let's say I can't find the remote or something. Like I just want to sit there for 25 seconds watching, playing in 25 seconds.
Sometimes
25 seconds is a long time.
But not everything has to be instant. I think in this generation, I mean, I am a man for, I need things now, but maybe, I don't know. They want people just to enjoy some time, maybe to have a reflect on what you've just watched. Creativeness, anyway.
What, the 17th episode of Criminal Minds that I've watched that day. And
thank you for letting me know, because I was thinking, why are you watching Disney Plus so hard? Anyway, let's move forward to Ref of the Day, right? If Dylan, you may not know about this section, but it's a very popular section in our show. You are going to decide three rules that will level the playing field in a £1 billion game of football, right? Whoever wins £1 billion. The team that's playing, Real Madrid, they have goal bonuses as well. So every time they score, so they get money as well added to that prize pot. So it's a very serious match. The board, the team are going to take it serious. They want that extra cash. They're playing against, like I said, I'm going to Wigan this week. On Friday to speak and mentor the under-18s. So we're going to play against Wigan under-18s, okay? So what I need you to do is give me your three rules to level the playing field. Now, what we actually want to see, Dylan, is Wigan under-18s win the game. We are people of good hearts. We are good people. Big up Real Madrid, but we want the underdog to win the game. That is the ideal scenario.
That's the British way as well, isn't it? The underdog.
Is it?
Everyone loves an underdog.
Everyone loves an underdog story. Now, Kim did this last week, our producer, smashed it. His last rule swayed the balance and ended up the team that played, I believe it was, I saw Millwall last week, so it was Millwall under-18s.
Yeah.
They got the win. We need that for you. So, it's a normal game of football, but I need you to give you three rules to level the playing field.
Or in general,
what we actually want to see, like I said, is we want to see the under-18s of Wigan win the game. So, give me your first rule. I'll be the judge.
Okay.
Right now, actually, before we start, what will the score be if Wigan under-18s played Real Madrid in an actual normal game. What do you think? Normal game.
13-14-0-1
We'll go 14-0.
14-0. How to level the playing
field. Now you've got to go from 14-0 to
2-1 Wigan.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Rule number one. So
you say Real Madrid's players, right? Vini Jr.'s got a goal bonus, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Like Valverde has a goal bonus.
Yeah, they're going to want to win the game.
Okay. So, my first rule, I reckon, every goal that is scored removes a player from the pitch for 15 minutes. So,
from both teams? Or as in not removed from obviously the Wigan team, but I'm saying every goal Real Madrid score,
got to remove a player. Because if I want to give them some psychological problems here, right?
Okay.
So it's like we want to score, if we want to win, we want the goal bonus, but also the more goals we score, the fewer players we have.
But only for 15 minutes.
Or we can make it permanent.
We can
make it permanent.
You got to sway the balance here right now. If the
goal scorer has to come off.
Right.
Every goal scorer can be the same for Wigan as well. So let's say Real Madrid go 4-0 up and suddenly they've got, 7 men on the pitch.
And then
that gives Wigan an advantage, doesn't it?
So if they score, then another player goes off Real Madrid team as well. No.
Both. So whoever scores a goal comes off. So the idea is Real Madrid score first, right? They score a few goals first, 11-11, but suddenly it's not 11-11 anymore. It's 11-4. It's 11-7.
Okay.
And suddenly Wigan will be able to bring it back. But this is what I mean, like not necessarily for the whole game, but maybe for like a prolonged period, like 25 minutes or something.
Okay, we'll stick that.
So that Wigan are able to get their players back if they score a few goals. Okay. But for me, that will mean that there's a chance of a comeback for Wigan, because they every time they concede, they get given basically a bit of an advantage and they have an extra man.
That's true.
So then, because I'm assuming Real Madrid probably will score first. 11v11, I don't think anything is going to stop Real Madrid from scoring first, realistically.
I'm actually going to go, right?
Yeah?
We started at 14-0. You're not going to like this, but I think it's going to go to 16-0. Maybe, actually, no, 17-1.
No, but they can't, because they've only got 11 players. They can't score 14 goals anymore.
Well, no, but but we started at 14-0, so you got to sway. So we got to try and reduce that by your rules. But I know what you're saying. Oh, actually, they wouldn't, because then they lose all their players.
I think it turns to maybe 9-4 then now, because
They can't really maybe get 9-3. To 4. Yeah, they can't really get to 14-0. I mean, okay, I'm gonna okay. What I'm gonna do here? I'm gonna go 9-1 final score. The reason why I say that is because, yes, it's not going to score all 9 goals and they have all those players off the pitch. They're going to score, wait for their players to return. And I still think once the players return, or when they're off the pitch, they'll do low block Real Madrid. Listen, Wigan under 18 is going to have to work really hard. So for me, 9-1.
I think Wigan would get more than that, though. Because if they score like 3 goals, right, and they've got, Real Madrid are going to wait 25 minutes, that means at half time it's only 3-0 or something. How are they scoring 6 in the second half if it's 9-1?
I hear you.
Let's say Real Madrid get 3 goals in the first 20.
I still think with 3 players off the pitch, I still think Real Madrid are still hard to get through, you know? Or hard to score against.
Possibly. But then I've got...
Go on. We're 9-1. Go on.
My next rule is that Real Madrid players can't tackle the same player twice in 5 minutes.
Oh, that's tough. Okay, yeah, now you're thinking. I like this rule.
So let's say Wigan number 9, well, like Real Madrid centre back, let's say Rudiger or whatever, goes through him. Rudiger can't touch the number 9 for the next 5 minutes now.
Okay.
He can jockey.
Yep.
He can try and block passing lanes. Rudiger can't put a tackle in for 5 minutes on their number 9.
Okay, 9-3. We're at 9-3. 9-4.
All right,
This last one's got to be a strong rule, Dylan. I'm relying on you to make it even here.
How ridiculous can I make it?
Real
Madrid goalkeeper.
Yep.
Has got to wear diving flippers.
I like that. You're thinking. Diving flippers. Can you? Oh, I like that.
Like duck feet.
Huh? Yeah, no, I'm with the producers in my ear saying, I still don't think that sways the balance, but it's a good one. That's going to...
All the other way. Okay, Courtois got, you know them like massive like foam
Gloves.
Hands? Big foot. Or he's got to wear them, for example.
I'll be honest. It's 9-8. I still think Real Madrid win this game. I'm sorry, Dylan. We have to leave it there. That's your 3 rules. It's unfortunate, but Real Madrid take home the £1 billion. You get a cut of it. It's fine.
I'll take that.
Yeah, 9-8.
I'll take my 5%
commission. Real Madrid, he's gone foam gloves in goal plus flippers. I still think Real Madrid, and with the rule that, you know, when they score, they have people off for 25 minutes.
So you're saying Real Madrid have 7 men on the pitch here. They're not allowed to tackle the attacking players, and the goalkeeper's twice. Got like big flippers and foams and everything.
9-8.
You saying that Wigan aren't getting a couple goals here?
9-8. And you know what? Let me know if you agree or disagree. Am I wrong? Am I being unfair? Or is that the spot on answer? We've had in my ear from the producer who agrees 9-8 is a fair result. And then coming up after the break, we've got my favourite section of the show. It is Fantasy 11. And this week, it is the alcoholic drinks 11. But Cecil doesn't drink, he says.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
That's funny, you know.
Right, Dylan, this is my favourite section of the show. Now, you already, I know you've got your 11. I take this very serious, all right? So
I've got a bit of a twist here, though.
Okay, that's...
I've got 2 11s. I've got a beer 11 and a non-beer 11.
Okay, that's a drinker. I can't compete with that. I don't have a clue. It's not beer 11, it's alcoholic 11. So
no,
we're gonna,
I know, but as in like, I've got like a spirit and mixer cocktail 11, and also I've got a beer 11, because there's so much, I couldn't pick.
Well, you pick what you think's the strongest out of the two.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Fine, your knowledge on that, bro, I struggled. I mean,
I was at the pub when I got the message from Kim going, I need a beer 11. And it was after the Arsenal game. It was at 11 p.m. I'm in Spoons. I've had a few. And I get a text in being like, so then I was with my mates. And so I went, boys, I need some help here. We need to make a beer 11. So this is like Well, give six drinks down, me and my mates trying to make an 11.
I need the strongest 11 with alcoholic. So I've got, because I've gone for various alcohols because I don't know. I just guessed and looked at some other stuff when I went to Tesco. Yeah. Right, let's do this. We're gonna go into it. Let's start. Let's start because we're gonna smash through it. And we're gonna go player for player, and then we're gonna read out our 11s as a whole. So here we go. In goal, I've gone weak. I started weak. Forgive me. That's my weakest position of all. In goal, Jägermeister, because you have to mix it. Don't ask me why that makes sense, but you have to mix it. I feel like you have to...
Jägermeister, it's just a spirit.
Yeah, but to get the full energy and you mix it with the Red Bull. Obviously, you're right, it's just a spirit, but I've gone Jägermeister to goal.
Okay,
it's like a weak start. It's a weak start, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Weak start.
Interesting,
but wait till you hear the rest, but go on. Who have you got in goal?
In goal, I've gone with a double vodka lime soda because I'm thinking it's reliable, it's easy, you know what you're getting, and it's calm. It's like the Senna Lomans of drinks, yeah? You know what you're getting. You know he's going to claim a few highballs. You know his shot stopping's all right. A Jaeger bomb, I feel like, is too scatty. Like, you can have some unbelievable moments, but you can have some absolute howlers from a Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, do you know what
it is? A Jaeger bomb can do some serious damage. And I don't want my goalkeeper doing any sort of damage on the field. I don't want to see, like, him running out of goal like Andre Onana and getting skipped past.
Fair. Okay, so do you know what? So the vodka, lime and soda.
Vodka, lime and soda. It's double vodka, lime and soda.
I have a lot of
goalkeeper.
Friends that drink that. Okay, it's not a bad start. Right, let's get into this then. Yeah. Here we go. Now I'm getting serious. So I've gone here, left back, right?
Yeah.
I've made this off the fact that my left back for Arsenal is Calafiori. And I was recently in Italy. I know I say I don't drink, but after the meal, they came with some limoncellos. And I went, that is a perfect left back. Italian, I'm in Italy, limoncello, Calafiori.
You know, classy.
See?
An aperitif.
Elegant.
Digestif.
There you go.
Yeah.
Limoncello.
I kind of hear it. I'm thinking,
baby.
Because I've gone at left back for an Asahi.
Man City sponsor, Arsenal sponsor recently as well, actually.
I've gone for an Asahi, like a nice, crisp, cold Asahi. No, knows what it's doing. Again, you know what you're getting for it, but it's got a bit of je ne sais quoi about it, personally, I feel.
Okay.
But I think limoncello's actually a better shout.
Of course, bro, don't worry. We got a judge in the back. Don't worry. But I'll take that. We're going to go right back now. And
right,
then we'll do
the
centre back pairing together. Yeah. Right back, I've gone smooth. Bailey's. Nice and smooth. And just like timber just glides.
I've gone the other way. I've gone with a tequila shot. I want something crazy.
Okay.
I want something a bit interesting. I want something a bit like, you know, like Trent Alexander-Arnold. You're not quite sure, you know, he could pull something
That's
out
smooth.
The bag.
Yo, the way he's just... The distribution.
It's like Trent gets the ball and then suddenly he's just like...
He glides.
You know, the moment of magic. For me, a tequila shot is like a moment of magic. I do it and I'm like, I'm up, I'm ready. Bite down on the lime, got the salt as well. I think a tequila shot, you know, a bit crazy. You want a bit of crazy on your fullbacks.
Okay, for me.
I think because why I went, I was like, Asahi, the nice kind of the cooler, calmer one. And then you've got the tequila shot that's a bit mental, a bit crazy. You can pull something out of the bag, pull out a bit of magic when you need that. Like that early whipped cross in the 90th minute to go find your striker.
Fair.
That's what I'm going for.
Don't worry, the judge is listening. That's fine. That's a good explanation.
Uh-huh.
Centre-back pairing, we'll do it together. Here we go. Hear me out. Yeah? Hear me out. Left centre-back. Beer. Classic. It's British. English. It's not really British, but it's the staple. It's solid. It's rugged. It's next to him, I've gone someone that sounds like a British centre back. Jack Daniels. Sounds hard. Yeah, physical.
Jack Daniels working his way up the leagues.
There you go. It makes sense. Two staple centre backs. That's my centre back.
Okay, fair enough. I've gone with. My one centre-back, my big rugged centre-back is going to knock anyone out.
Yeah.
It's Ray and Nephews.
Fair.
Ray and Nephews, will knock anybody out.
Fair. I like that.
Ray and Nephews stands tall and strong.
Yeah, fair. Wrong.
And you know, once you have some Ray and Nephews, only one thing's going to happen and you're getting knocked out at some point.
It's poor that I have not got Ray and Nephews as a Jamaican in my
team.
Ray
and Nephews.
Okay, cool.
Ray and Nephews. And then the other one was I've gone for like a Rio Ferdinand, like a smooth. I've gone with a... I know there's stigma behind it, but I'm thinking like the actual beer itself, a Stella Artois, ball playing centre back here.
Okay, fair.
Like a ball. So we got Rare Nephews, the big hard man centre back, and then you've got like a Stella Artois, a nice Belgian premium beer.
Yeah.
That will like, you know, play it out the back, cool, calm, and collected, like Rio.
Okay.
Like Rio. That's I've gone with the hard man, and the cool, calm, collected centre back.
I like that explanation. We're gonna do the midfield three as a three.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're gonna go my DM. Russian vodka, just the one that's always there, the mm-hmm. one that people just pick out of the back of the cupboard when they got guests around. Russian vodka in the DM does the hard work. My centre mid and captain, champagne, yeah. My captain, it's the celebratory drink when he's lifting the trophy. Champagne is everywhere. So champagne in the CM, and then my number 10, my creative number 10. I had to Google this, even though my mum drinks this all the time. It's a cognac. It's Hennessy Brute du Sucre. It's the most expensive Hennessy there is. It's $200, $200,000. Sorry. So creative, damn. Expensive, luxurious. There we go.
Interesting. All right, give my midfield three. I've got my number six. That's where I've got my Jaeger bomb. My crazy man. My number six, who will fly into tackles. He will crunch people. That's where I've got so you put your Jaeger bomb in goal. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm I feel like Jaeger bomb's a bit crazy. It's got so much energy. You need someone running around the pitch.
Yeah.
You've got a drink with caffeine in it. He is going to crunch. He is going to hit people. He is going to be energetic. He's going to be everywhere. So I see a Jaeger bomb as a number six. Okay. My number eight. Have you guys ever heard of a drink called a zombie?
I don't drink.
Basically, it's a cocktail that effectively has everything in it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking as a number eight, I've got my all action midfielder.
I really wanted that as my DM, but I didn't know what it was called. I called it a dirty shot. But that's what I thought.
All action number eight. You've got a bit of tequila in there. Actually, I don't know if you've got tequila, but you've got rum in there, you've got vodka in there, you've got pineapple juice in there, you've got ice in there, you've got a zombie has everything in it. Okay. So I want my midfielder, my number eight, to have everything. Okay. Like my Kobbie Mainoo, he can pass, good. He can shoot, he can dribble, he can tackle. Okay. My number eight. And then my number 10, just because it sounds like a number 10, is Estrella. Just because it sounds like a number 10. Like a Spanish Div 2 number 10 here that rises through the ranks.
Okay.
Starts, released by Real Sociedad, goes down to La Liga second division, and then comes, brings his team up, and then gets his transfer to Barcelona or to Real Madrid or something. You've got Estrella, your number 10.
Your midfield three.
Classy number 10.
Very strong. Midfield three strong, I can't lie. Let's go to front three then.
Yeah.
You give me your front three.
So I've got a right wing. I've got my favorite beer, my favorite drink is a neck oil. Got my neck oil.
Okay.
On my right wing.
Okay.
My left wing, I've got Corona.
Yep.
I'm seeing your Mexican winger, your Irving Lozano type, got Corona.
Got and up lime front, in there. Yep.
Got the big man Red Stripe. The big man Red Stripe up top.
Okay.
Canister of Red Stripe. Fair. Even looks like a football. Even the can itself has got a big red stripe down it like a football jersey.
I'm so
a Boca Juniors football jersey.
I'm so disappointed that Boca Juniors is a great shout as well. I'm so disappointed I didn't add in my Caribbean alcoholic beverages. Anyway, let me do my front three. Right wing, young, yeah? Young aspiring superstar. Apple sours. It's for the young drinkers.
Okay,
yeah?
Young,
exuberant, all of that, yeah? Left wing, sharp, gin. Just sharp. Gin. I don't know. I don't really like gin, but just so sharp. Not that I drink. And then up front, aging like fine wine. I've gone with the wine. Yeah? Just a cultured, experienced striker.
Okay.
I bought a nice bottle of red, because I'm an Arsenal fan. Red wine. Which is just said in my ear.
Yeah?
That he thinks you've won this one today.
Gone! Look. I was in a pub when I made this.
Yeah,
I feel I had home advantage. I did have home advantage.
That's what I'm saying.
But we take any advantage we can get here. I had home advantage. I had the beer menu. I had the spoons menu in front of me running through it.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Dylan has won Fantasy 11 today. That's broke my heart, if I'm honest, because I really care about this. But it does show that I'm not an avid drinker, so you can tell by my 11. However, I'm happy. I think it's a close match, though. I think that's fair to say. My producer's not. It's a close match.
It's a tight 2-1.
Tight 2-1. So let me shake your hand. Congratulations on winning.
Thank you.
The Fantasy 11 for this week's show on VAR. You Serious, brought to you by Fubar Radio. You've been an amazing, amazing guest, Dylan. Thank you so much for coming to the studio and joining me for such a great chat this early morning. Thanks so much. We'll hear from you again soon. I'm sure we'll hopefully get to have you back on VAR. You Serious here on Fubar. Thank you all that listened. And we'll see you again soon. Take care. Love.
VAR, you serious? On Fubar Radio.